Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
There's a lot of other things that go into that. But a lot of guys, they come to you and they go, I want to be the pastor. I go, okay, are you a sheep? No, I'm not a sheep, I'm a pastor. No, not going to happen. And so this is something that a lot of people don't seem to really understand. Yet in this chapter, God reminds us he has not forgotten his flock, and his flock, right, he sent Jesus to rescue us.
Suppose you worked in a small business, such as a restaurant, and someone came to you and said, I'd like a job. So you said, great, we need another dishwasher. But then they said, no, I want to be the restaurant manager. As Pastor Jim shares today, you can't be a leader without first being a follower. In God's kingdom, you can't be a shepherd without first being a sheep. Jesus is the true shepherd. You are his sheep. He leads you. You follow him. Who are you following today? Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 10 as he begins his message, Jesus the True Shepherd.
Well, today we come to one of the most well-known sections in the Gospel of John, where we talk about Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Now, this section has brought a lot of comfort and hope to a lot of people, yet there's a lot of other things that Jesus is going to talk about. Jesus also refers to himself as the door. Some versions say the gate. Most people don't really understand that. We'll be talking about that. What are these words? We've been talking about them all throughout John's Gospel. They are metaphors. They're just words to describe something else. And Jesus is describing himself in the context of a society that is used to seeing sheep and shepherds. So they know all about that. There's a lot in the Old Testament, as we'll see about that as well. And these words describe Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. When he talks about himself as the door and the gate, which we'll see more later on, meaning he's the only way to God and the only way to eternal life. As the good shepherd, Jesus is the only shepherd who's able to lay down his life for the sheep. We'll see there's other ways you can, you know, a shepherd would go out ahead of his sheep, but he's the only one who can save people from their sins. Now, in the Old Testament, they're often criticized by God. The religious leaders and some of the kings were often criticized by God for not caring for the sheep in a lot of places, but we're going to mainly focus today a little bit on Ezekiel 34. In Jesus' day, the religious leaders were what we would call unfaithful shepherds. Not all of them, but most of them were, which we saw in chapter 9. Remember the man born blind? They amaze me. Guy's blind from birth, gets healed by Jesus. I understand they don't like Jesus. Can you just put that to the side for a second and just say, hey, bro, we're happy you can see now. But they can't even do that. They can't even do that. That's how much they hate Jesus. How sad that horrible shepherding continues today. It's all over the place. And you say, well, how does it happen? People adding to the Word of God, people subtracting from the Word of God. We'll talk more about that as we go along. Some leaders, they try to regulate every area of your life. Some of you have came from those places. Others, anything goes, right? Maybe I just take the easy way out. I don't know. I let the Word of God do the work. When it tells us that we need to get this together, we need to get it together. When it says God will forgive us, then God will forgive us. I'm fine with all of that. Some of the stuff I hear pastors doing is absolutely awful. Recently this week, a guy who I've read his books, oh my gosh, this guy could write in 300 pages. I couldn't even write two sentences as nice as this guy, right? And then he's just doing stupid stuff. And I know some of the pastors in the area, and I hear stuff. I'll meet them. I go, I heard that you did this. Did you do that? They go, yeah, I did that. I'm like, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? And I don't get it. Others telling people, oh, just do this religious ritual, and that will save your life. I mean, no, that's not what the gospel is. Instead of telling people, follow the good shepherd. Put your focus on him. But what do most people do? A lot of pastors put the focus on themselves. A lot of pastors put the focus on you. Now, sometimes people say to me, what's the problem with these shepherds that are supposed to be the shepherds of God's flock, that he's appointed them to watch over them? What is their deal? What's going on? Here's the best thing I can tell you in the context of this. They are not sheep. You have to be a sheep before you can be a shepherd. Do you understand that? That's simple, right? Okay, so let me give you a little rundown of my own personal thing, okay? Number one, I am a sheep. Sheep aren't too bright. You know that about me, all right? Sheep are not too bright. Number two, I am a husband. Number three, I am a father. Number four, I am a grandfather. Number five, I am a shepherd. There's a lot of other things that go into that. So, but a lot of guys, they come to you and they go, I want to be the pastor. I go, okay, are you a sheep? No, I'm not a sheep. I'm a pastor. No, not going to happen. And so this is something that a lot of people don't seem to really understand. Yet in this chapter, God reminds us he has not forgotten his flock, and his flock, right, he sent Jesus to rescue us. That's how bad the situation is for us, so he sent us. 600 years before Jesus lived, the prophet Ezekiel writes these words, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. And then he says, my servant David, remember that, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Well, they said, people would say, well, that's David. No, David's long gone. He's been gone for hundreds of years. This is the term looking forward to the Messiah. So this is Jesus' last public address in the Gospel of John. You say, we're only halfway through. Well, more after this becomes his talking with his disciples and the apostles who are going to be on the mission following him. Yet, while we like to and we should think of Jesus as the loving shepherd, he is the loving shepherd, that is true. It's also important to remember something about what a shepherd did. A shepherd ruled his flock. Do we understand that? He ruled his flock. You know, David wrote in the 23rd Psalm, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, David was a shepherd. So what would happen if a sheep got out of line? Whack. Okay, right? And so God is, he's in charge of the flock, right? That's his. Just as, and this is something I think a lot of people don't want to hear, Jesus Christ rules his church. It's his church. But a lot of people go like, well, no, it's my church. People always say, yeah, they meet me and they go, yeah, I'm going to come to your church sometime. I go, it ain't my church. It's not my church. They're like, really? I go, no, I go there, but I don't want it to be my church by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I realize that God has a role for me here, and he has a way that he wants me to deal with the people in the church here, his flock. And so sometimes things will go wrong and I'll be like, oh God, what do I do here? What do I do there? But you know, me, I'm always telling God, you got problems with these people, man. I don't know. But then again, we don't really have many problem people. Do you know why? Because the word of God chases them out. It really does. And so you may say that's not nice, but that's a lot of times what it does. And we hope, of course, that people want to just follow Jesus instead of following their own way. And that's what's amazing about the way Jesus speaks. He speaks about the sins of people, but then what does he do? He offers them the forgiveness of sins in eternal life. So Jesus will tell us now there is one flock and one shepherd, and that expresses the love of God. So as we go along, and it's very important, but just this is sort of the introductory of this chapter, we will see that the religious leaders in time will understand what Jesus is saying. If you jump down to verse 31, what do they want to do? They want to kill him again, right? They've got big plans to try and kill him. They knew that in the Old Testament, the Bible talked about the kings and the religious leaders, and they were often described as shepherds. And a lot of them were absolutely 100% awful. They were awful. But Jesus, the true shepherd, and that's the title of our message, is the one who willingly dies on the cross for the sheep and leads anyone, as we will see, who will turn to him and put their trust in him to the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So let's jump in. Jesus begins to speak. John 10, verse 1. Most assuredly or truly, truly, that means it's very important what he's about to say. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold or the sheep pen by the door or the gate, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, right now, the religious leaders are probably like, what's he talking about? He's talking about them. He's talking about them. So there's no setting given here by the Apostle John, and it's quite possible he's connecting us back to the events of chapter 9. Now, most of you, or some of you know this, some of you don't, the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. So when the original Bible was written, it was just written straight through, and then people smarter than me, for sure, the most of us, came along and divided it up into chapters. Now, sometimes we debate where it should be divided, but it doesn't really matter. It helps us locate things quickly. Later on, we'll see that there's another festival that they're at, but it may not be that here. It seems to be that Jesus is continuing the conversation. So he's addressing a group of people where it's quite possible that includes the religious leaders. And we know that they're hostile to Jesus. They can't stand him. Again, he heals a guy. They can't even be happy for that. In this section, Jesus will contrast, and it'll be very obvious, the true shepherd, Jesus himself, with the religious leaders. And who's he going to call them? The thieves and the robbers. How did you like that? You're a well-known, standing up member of the community. And Jesus goes, yeah, you're a thief and a robber. Right? They'd be like, kill this guy. And that's the way they feel about him. Now, another thing Ezekiel said, in again, 600 years before Jesus, in Ezekiel 34:4, he writes this. This is God telling what he thinks of the religious leaders and the kings. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, some versions say bandaged the injured, nor brought back what was driven away, or the strays, nor sought what was lost, but with force, some versions say violence, and cruelty, some versions say harshly, you have ruled them. So I think what God is saying in this verse is very, very clear. It's like he's saying, here's the deal, guys. These people belong to me. And the way you treat them, no. They are my sheep, they are my flock, and quite honestly, any of you ever get a job review? Quite honestly, you're doing a lousy job. You stink. Heaven is not happy. This is not going well for you. Now, it was common back then, and we'll talk a little bit more as we go along, there to be one door going into the sheep pen, and someone would be watching it, keeping them safe from the predators. Jesus' point seems to be that the religious leaders are trying to power over the people through intimidation. Now, remember in the last chapter, when the blind man was talking to them, everybody else was afraid of them, right? Everybody else was afraid of the religious leaders till this guy comes along. And this guy just puts them in their place. Remember, we were laughing. He's like, oh, you want to follow him like I am? And all this kind of stuff like that. And so what do they say? You're out. No intelligent dialogue, nothing of that. That's it. You're out. You can't be part of this. Now, this is something that's very important for all of us to remember. Everybody listening? Here it is. As we read the Gospels, Jesus' toughest teachings are against the false leaders and the false teachers. Don't forget that. A lot of times we talk to people like that's who they are. That's not who they are. Jesus talks to the sinners much nicer. He really does. He talks to the people who are the poor and the people who've been mistreated very, very kindly. And we should do the same thing too. Now, do sometimes some of us get in a situation where we may have to stand up to quote-unquote theological bullies? Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we will. But Jesus talks to these guys the worst. They were a threat to God's people. And that is not what Jesus wants to do. Yet today, here's the thing. You call those guys out and you're considered divisive. What is that? You call out the false teachers, you call out the bullies, you call out the nasty people or the liars, and you know what? People are going to brand you as being divisive. How many of you speak Spanish? Okay, no me importa. You know what I just said? I just said, I don't care. I don't care. Okay? Jesus calls them out, then we're going to call them out when the Bible does. And I feel no regret about that at all. None. And I was talking with some guys, and they were mentioning some churches, and they go, well, what if you were pastoring there? I go, they would fire me. They would fire me, but that's okay. Sheep are not able to protect themselves. And this is something that's very important. That's what the whole idea is here. They need a shepherd to protect them. And here's the thing. A lot of the wolves are nice. A lot of them are nice, but then some of them are just nasty. And the truth of the matter is, from an eternal perspective, we are unable to care for ourselves, and that's why we need the true shepherd. That's why we need him. Verse 2, Jesus still talking, but he who enters by the door or by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So what happens? The thief and the robber, they avoid the door. They're not going in that way because they know they're not going to get in. They avoid the gatekeeper, but the true shepherd enters through the door. Now, the Israelites, the people who were raised, you know, we were raised on all different kinds of books and stuff like that. They're raised on the Old Testament. A lot of them, that's how they would learn to read or stuff like that. The religious leaders memorized it, and probably right about now, some of the religious leaders going, is he talking about us? Like, what is this that he's talking about here? They're starting to wonder. Now, the people of God knew this. Moses was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. They were leaders of the people of God. They were the ideal leaders to a lot of the people. They were not perfect like Jesus is. But in the Old Testament, quite often, God was pictured as the shepherd of his people. And what he would do is he would assign others to watch out for his people and to represent him. And as we said, the religious leaders were often failures, but God then would promise them a Messiah. Let's just do a couple verses about it. Perhaps King David's most famous verse is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that beautiful? Later on, he'll say, his rod and the staff, they comfort me. What does he do? He says, he whacks me back into line. That's really what he says. Now, another version says, I shall not want. Another version says, I have what I need. Now, we talked about this before, but let's remind ourselves again. David was a shepherd, but he was a sheep before he was a shepherd. And that's what made him a good shepherd, because he knew he had to be one of God's sheep. So what does God say about some of the guys who were religious leaders or kings who were not very good? Well, let's look at Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. What does he mean? I mean, when somebody calls you worthless, you're like, what do you mean by that? No. You don't question that. You're like, yeah, he thinks I'm nothing. That's a bad job review, right? I'm worthless. Verse 3, Jesus still speaking. To him, the doorkeeper opens the idea of the door. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep. Now, you might want to circle what comes next if you have your own Bible. That's why I think you should bring your own Bible to church by name. Very important statement there. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out of the pen. Now, there's a lot of people who want to wonder who the gatekeeper is. We're not going to go down that rabbit trail. A lot of interesting possibilities, but I think Jesus is just using an illustration. Now, one thing was common for a lot of people in the town would be they wouldn't have enough money or enough space to keep their own sheep. A lot of people, families just own their own sheep. So what they would do, there'd be this one big pen, and they would bring their sheep down and put them in the pen, and they would hire a guy to watch them overnight and pay him to watch the flock. Then the shepherd would come back in the morning, and he would call for the sheep. And they would run to the true shepherd. They would know who their shepherd was. Now, I want to just take a time out here and stop for a second, because I know that many of you from talking to you, have come into the church world with some, let's just call it church baggage. Many of you have felt like you wasted a lot of your life following a false shepherd. You felt like you were following somebody who just tried to manipulate you and control you and do all different kinds of stuff. You say, well, what do you mean? The first couple of years we were here in the church, you get a lot of different people who just pass through to see if, you know, you have the anointing or something like that. And they would come up to me and say stuff like this to me. And they go, Pastor, I'm buying a car. I go, oh, good for you. And they say, what color should I get? And I'd be, what color do you like? And they're like, no, I want to know what's the blessed color. And I'm like, ask my wife. She's an artist. I'm almost colorblind, right? And so they would ask for the stuff, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And they go, well, the church I was at before, if we were getting a new car, we'd ask the pastor what color to get. I'm like, what? What? But that's the way some of it is. Some of you come from these crazy places. I'll give you another one. If anybody clips this on the internet, I'll kill you. You know, if you were to give the first 6 months of your income to the church, God would bless you and make you a millionaire. That is a total lie. That is a total lie. Of course, you won't clip that on, okay? But that's the kind of stuff that people are telling people. Somebody dies, they get an inheritance. Oh, give me all the inheritance. 5 minutes, 2 weeks later, hey, I'm completely broke. I gave all the money to the church. Can you help me? No, you're not trusting God. You see, some of you are nodding your heads. This is how silly this stuff is. This is why we study the Bible. This is why. So we don't believe these kinds of people, okay? So maybe you have spent a lot of time in your life following this false kind of baloney. Today, listen to what I say. It's time to move on. It's time to forget about it. Forget about the bitterness of it. Forget about holding that in your heart. Let it go. Let it go. And start following the Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is to keep our focus on Jesus, the true shepherd. And notice something here, very particular about what it says. He says that the doorkeeper opens the door and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name. Who takes the initiative? Jesus. Who takes the initiative? Jesus. I think too often we think that we have to take the initiative with God. No, he calls us and we respond to him. Very important that we understand that. Very, very important. And here Jesus is clearly talking to the people who belong to him. He calls them by name. You know what that means? That is intimacy. That Jesus knows your name. Can you imagine that? Some of you are looking at me like, really? He knows your name. He just calls you. He says, come. That's the greatest thing that can happen to someone. When the voice of Jesus, you detect he's calling you by name. You know what? It's personal. You are personal to him.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.